This is Cincinnati Edition. I'm Mark Haney. August was a rough month, to say the least, for the investment world as the Dow fell back under the 15,000 mark. So what are the latest market numbers and where are things headed? Later in the show, a look at Brand Hub, the Cincinnati Chamber's effort to strengthen the city's place in the marketing industry, and its initiative to grow and support local minority businesses. Joining me this afternoon are financial advisor Chris DeSimeo, also Michael Farr, president of the investment firm Farr Miller in Washington. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100. You can email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Chris, good to see you this afternoon.
Mr. Haney, always a pleasure to
Likewise.
Be here.
Likewise. Always a pleasure to see your smiling face.
Yes.
So you've got some numbers to share with us.
We do. And before we get to our very special guest, Mr. Michael Farr, we'll just kind of talk about what's been happening. The market's up over 100 points at this very minute. It was a crummy month, as you said. August, the market, the Dow was down about 4.5% for the month from the peak that was August 2nd, over 1% last week alone. And yet, today and this week, we've been getting some pretty reasonable numbers. Just this morning, for example, the Gallup Job Creation Index was up a notch at 23. Yesterday, construction spending up 0.6%. It's up over 5% year over year. The Institute for Supply Management numbers released yesterday also were well above consensus estimates. People thought that that number was going to decline to a reading of 53.8. Now, anything above 50 means the economy is expanding. It came in at 55.7. So here's a market that's very nervous, but it's like that old phrase, so who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? I mean, right. in fact, just a few minutes ago, the Fed beige book was just reported. That's kind of the fun thing about being live again here at about a little after 2 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon. The Fed's beige book was just reported, and the Fed said that the economy is improving because consumer spending is increasing. So this does not look like bad news. Shall we get to Mr. Farr here?
We sure should. Good afternoon, Michael. How are you doing?
Good afternoon. Nice to be with you on this wonderful afternoon. Washington is having a beautiful afternoon here in Washington, D.C.
Same in Cincinnati.
Yeah, it is gorgeous here. It's almost World Series weather here in Cincinnati. And the Dodgers are coming to town this weekend, and we're still watching those dreaded New York Yankees, who are now just 2.5 games back in the wild card, so it could get interesting. But Michael, you've been in this business a long, long time. You've written many books, A Million Is Not Enough and The Arrogance Factor, and you are one of the most frequently quoted and frequently seen people on CNBC and on Bloomberg. And again, I want to remind the audience, here we are on a Wednesday afternoon, in the middle of the afternoon, that you get to see Michael on TV all the time and read his stuff, but it's not often you actually get a chance to have Michael answer questions. So what's the number, Mr. Haney, that people could call in?
513-419-7100.
Okay.
You can also email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter if you'd like to make a comment or send us a question.
Great, great. Michael, you publish frequently, and there'll be a link to your website from the wvxu.org website. Recently, you've written about the housing market, because a lot's been made that the housing market has been strong, et cetera, but you're less than sanguine about the housing market. Why is that?
Chris, as interest rates go up, those mortgage rates go higher. And we've seen mortgage rates creep up about a full percentage point since May, when Chairman Bernanke suggested that they would begin to taper at some point in the future. Eyes are watching the Fed's report later this month very closely to see if Bernanke will hint at an actual taper or announce a date for that taper. But without actually having changed anything, of course, we've seen those interest rates go up and people's purchasing power, because their monthly payments now are going to be a little bit more expensive for the same loan, or if they can't afford a more expensive payment, then they're going to have to take a smaller loan. And if they can only borrow a bit less money, they can afford to pay you a bit less for your house. So that recovery in the housing market gets stalled if interest rates go up. And even at the hint of Fed removing the current pace of accommodation, lessening, tapering, if you will, we've seen that market begin to slow. So while I've been encouraged at the nascent recovery, it's been nascent for too long, and it's getting ready to face some headwinds.
Okay, interesting. So if you could write the Fed script for tapering or for exiting quantitative easing, if you, Michael Farr, had the pen in your hand and you got to write it, what would it look like?
I think that there is plenty of liquidity out in the marketplace, and my position is a more hawkish position. I think that we really need to let the markets find their own level, and we need to let free markets go ahead and operate without so much government control. So I would probably go ahead and begin the taper and begin to take the medicine now. I think the markets won't like that. I think that the economy will struggle a bit. We haven't seen a lot of job creation in this recovery. We haven't seen hourly wages pick up much, and in fact, we're almost at 2007 levels on wages. So when you reported earlier correctly that, you know, the Fed's feeling a little bit encouraged because the consumer is spending and is increasing their spending, they don't have a lot of fuel. Because where does a consumer get money? If we stop to think about that, a consumer gets has more jobs. More consumers have more jobs. That's good. Puts more money in their pocket. Or they have better wages and they're getting raises. That puts more money in their pocket. Neither of those really has begun to happen. And now we know, too, that interest rates are up a full percentage point since May. So borrowing costs are inching up. I don't see where that consumer has a whole lot of slack to continue to increase that spending and drive that recovery. So to me, it feels still like a very fragile time. We'll get through it, but I think the Fed has to step to the sidelines sooner or later. Once the market has the certainty that we know what their schedule's going to be, the market can react appropriately.
Michael, being the news guy that I am, I have to ask this question. How much of an impact is the Syrian situation having, is it going to have on the markets?
Really interesting, I think, question today in that the market's up over 100 points right now as Congress is voting on what sort of action we're going to take in Syria. Secretary Kerry has made a strong case to the House for action. The president wants it, and yet the markets are moving higher. Syria produces 50,000 barrels of oil a day. In the, you know, grand picture, that's kind of a rounding error. Syria is located in a very important spot in the Middle East and could have shockwave effects if it becomes destabilized militarily to affect a lot of really important oil-producing countries. So we're watching. Historically, you see markets pull back on an anticipation of a military action and actually rally once the action gets underway. When it doesn't look like you're going to have too many shock waves and unexpected shock waves and ramifications. So it's important, but right now markets are telling us that they don't expect any real catastrophe for whatever happens in Syria. And it's not good to surprise us in the markets, so we hope that the markets are right about that.
Yeah, Michael, of course, this year we've had no shortage of upcoming or impending disasters of the month. We all started the year with the budget, would the tax cuts be extended? Then came the sequester. Then it was Cyprus, if you recall, the Cypriot banking issue. There's always something to worry about. Once Syria is, if in fact Syria ends up in the market's collective rearview mirror, is the debt ceiling battle, is that the next big thing, and is that getting any traction in Washington or in the investment circles in which you circulate?
What we're hearing in Washington, yes. I mean, there are those who want to make it more of a battle, and there are those in Washington right now today who are saying it's not going to be as ferocious as it was in the past. Congress is out on its August recess until September 9th. Once Congress returns, they'll have nine sessions before the end of the month. This continuing resolution expires at the end of the month, and the Treasury Department has suggested that perhaps they can keep things funded into mid-early October. But you're hearing the same voices on the far right saying we want more austerity and we want more cuts, and they also want some sort of tax concession if they're going to go ahead and agree to this funding the government. The president is saying that he doesn't want to play this game at all. So when that rhetoric increases, if you have a hot situation in Syria, you might see the markets not react well. On the other hand, if that goes fairly well, if we don't hear a lot more from Syria, and if the Fed for some reason says we're not going to taper for a while, I think you could see the markets continue to rally. So hold all tickets. Don't throw them on the ground yet. The windows are going to remain open into after hours.
Operators are standing by.
Photo finish.
You know, Michael, you're prompting me to ask the layman's question. You know, my retirement plan, a lot of people's retirement plans, they've taken a bit of a beating lately. So is right now a good time to be rethinking my strategy, or is this a time to stay the course?
You know, I like to ask that to you, Chris. You always have such good answers to that, and your advice is always so solid and right on. Markets, you know, at any snapshot, we can come up with stories in the news just like those we've mentioned. They'll rhyme if they're not exact. So, you know, you don't change things just because where the market happens to be at the moment or how the headlines might be upsetting or pushing us in one way or the one direction or the other. You have a long-term investment horizon, and you know that the market's going to spike up and down throughout your 10-year period. You make sure that you have a discipline in terms of how much you want in equities and how much you should have in fixed income and the level of quality, and you stick with your discipline and your philosophy in a very dogged, determined, dispassionate way. Passion and is really the foe of the long-term investor. It's very easy to get really upset or really ebullient and think that there's, you know, no problems anywhere. I wrote about that in The Arrogance Cycle, how you can really think as soon as you think you can't lose, you're getting ready to. So remember your long-term investment cycle and know that just because the market's surging today, Warren Buffett's not doing anything. The only time he gets really excited is when it's going down. So look for your opportunities and think about the long term. Long term, in my experience, is the best way to make money.
Well, Michael, I want to thank you so much for taking time away from your very busy schedule and from the trading day, one in which we had another little hiccup there in the market for 6 minutes. We couldn't even trade some stocks again, you know, things that from the letters PC through SPZ. Just don't buy those things, right?
You
just can't make this stuff up. But Michael Farr from Farr Miller Washington, thank you so much for being with us today.
Yes, thank you so much, Michael.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome.
After the break, Cincinnati as a marketing mecca? Maybe not yet, but it is in the works. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.